Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Forum for Philosophy. Subscribe for weekly discussions of science, culture, politics, and the arts from a philosophical perspective. The Forum is a non-profit organization, and our events are free and open to all. You can support our work via our website and Facebook page.
Hello, thanks for listening to this Forum for Philosophy podcast. I'm Shahida Bari, one of the fellows, and I'm joined by my fellows, Jonathan Birch in Sussex.
Hello.
And Claire Moriarty in Dublin.
Hello.
Those of you who attend Forum events at the LSE will know us well, and you'll also know that sadly, because of the current COVID-19 crisis, we're unable to run our normal live events, which are usually open to the public free of charge. We are, however, continuing with our Forum for Philosophy podcast stream with the ambition of keeping philosophical thought and stimulating conversation alive via an online medium. And we hope you might continue to listen to and support us. And today, we thought you might like to hear from us, ourselves, about why we think the Forum matters. Jonathan, let's start with you. Why does the Forum matter?
It matters because philosophy is about the big questions. It's about, do I know anything? How should I live my life? How should society be organized? What is a human being? And these are questions that affect us all. You know, they're questions that appear to all of us at some point in our lives and that we all worry about quite a lot. And it's a disaster, I think, if the only people thinking about these questions and talking about them are academics in universities, talking in jargony ways in scholarly journals and at conferences. These are questions that you have to bring the public into. You have to bring the public into the discussion. And that's what the Forum is trying to do. I really think it's about not just taking philosophy to public audiences, but actually trying to bring the public in to the discussion and trying to see if we can all think through these big, scary questions together.
Claire, what about you? Why does the Forum matter?
I mean, I agree with what Jonathan said. I think as well, just the kind of accessible format we're trying to offer and that it's free. So as a kind of contrast with professional academic circumstances, I mean, most of the journals that we're all publishing in require subscriptions that are mostly, you know, provided by libraries and are usually very expensive. A lot of conferences have fees and various things. And then there are other kinds of norms that make accessing the kind of questions that Jonathan mentioned difficult, like the kind of jargony world of academic language. So there's no way if my, you know, very intelligent mother asked me to explain my research that it would be natural for me to use the language that I would use to explain it in a journal. And that's sort of a sad but maybe necessary feature of philosophy now. So it's nice that the Forum allows us and other philosophers and other academics to sort of sit and discuss the same sets of questions, but in a way that is more accessible in terms of the way it's done.
But also without dumbing down. That's what I really like about our events, that we're not dumbing down. And in fact, whatever topic we choose, no matter how esoteric or obscure or weird, we show that there is a public audience for it and that the public can get involved. I think, Claire, your events are great examples of this. You've done events about the Molyneux problem, events about the Tractatus. No, you're not picking the easy topics, you know, but there's no topic in philosophy that you can't bring the public into the discussion on.
I often find Forum events feel really normal, that academic life can feel not very normal. And I have it feels really bracing to go into a packed Forum event and have people who've walked off the street into a Forum event, or students, people who have got, you know, burning questions and issues in their lives, asking really urgent questions.
It helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was going to say Danielle, one of our other fellows who's not here, is also really good at running those sorts of events that speak to everybody. I think one of our most popular was what can we learn from suffering? And I just remember looking at that crowd of people with that pressing question and these people who've thought about it their whole lives trying to offer some answers. Claire, let me ask you what you think makes for a successful Forum for Philosophy event.
So I think like a good topic with broad appeal really helps. So I think the audience participation is a really nice part of the Forum events, and the sort of questions we get from the audience can steer things in interesting ways. And I think like the best way of guaranteeing you get good audience questions and good audience turnout is to have, you know, a philosopher in discourse with a historian and maybe a scientist. So you get, you know, a nice kind of stretch of different ways of looking at one problem, but in a way that kind of provokes thoughts in audience members and in the public in a nice way.
Yeah, it's the sort of events I really like are where the panelists really have to work to actually make their ideas accessible to each other, because they're coming to the topic from totally different disciplinary backgrounds. You know, if you have an author and a philosopher, or a scientist and a philosopher, they've really got to work to help each other understand what they're talking about. And I think that's fantastic for a public event. What you don't want is people all from the same discipline, all talking in that hidden code that academic disciplines develop, you know, and then the audience doesn't really feel involved.
I've loved the events where the academics and the critics and the journalists involved have ended up saying things that they hadn't expected. And that's because of the peculiar combination of people we put together. I remember the quite fun event we did on Halloween about the supernatural. And we had a really serious, rational philosopher, Richard Pettigrew, talking about logic, but also about how when he was a teenager, he thinks he saw a ghost. And we were laughing about it. And then an audience member piped up and said a question. And it was about how we think about and rationalize the unexpected and the strange, and why that's a philosophical problem. And he said something that he didn't expect. And the audience were completely gripped. I thought that was one of our most unexpected and successful events.
I had one recently, which I thought was more, it was going to be more formal. So it was on grammar or the anatomy of a language. And we had two sort of linguists and one philosopher. And the discourse was really wonderful. But the audience took things in really strange directions. So we ended up having questions about emojis, about sort of MLE, about Ebonics, about kind of modern formats of English. And then the audience kind of divided in a funny way when an audience member started to say, oh, well, some things are just wrong, aren't they? And, you know, giving examples of, you know, ungrammatical pieces of speech. And you could see a kind of divide open up between these kind of old school people who'd learned that grammar just has to be followed and obeyed. And then a kind of, you know, trenchant younger factions sort of saying like, no, you know, communication and being understood is the most important thing. But it was really great. Like, and it really made me think, oh, I need to do a new event this year on this kind of end of language, like emojis, MLE, this kind of thing. So it's really nice how that can take off and add a new dynamism to the event, as well as kind of prompting thoughts for further things to do.
Yeah, the public can actually inspire the events, you know, and public audiences are unpredictable. And that unpredictability is great. You know, actually throwing surprises at the panelists, so different from when a speaker is simply giving a talk.
What your favourite events have been. Why don't you go, Jonathan?
Oh, I like all of my events I've done on the minds of animals. So there was the Minds of Birds with Nikki Clayton and Mark Cocker. Mark Cocker,
so
a nature writer, an author, and Nikki Clayton, probably the world-leading expert in corvid cognition, so crows, ravens, rooks. So you have these two panellists who absolutely love corvids. They just love crows and have interacted closely with them for years and years, but in completely different ways and in completely different settings. And getting those two talking to each other, absolutely loved that. The Minds of Wales as well was also fantastic.
I think you might have the title for some of the strangest titled podcast events of our collection. And we need a COVID and CORVID follow-up to that event.
I feel really sorry for CORVIDs at the moment, actually. I mean, perhaps not in the great scheme of things, but, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of Google search results for COVID-19. We've got autocorrect on people's computers, keeps changing the spelling. And I kind of worry it's going to give crows a bad name. People will start associating it with crows.
That's a forthcoming event in the forum programme. What about you, Claire? What's been your favourite event so far?
Well, I was actually going to point to Jonathan's Bind series as well as being great, because we went along to the Bats one, I think, and the Minds one, or the Birds
one.
What
is it really like to be a bat?
Yeah, so it was really nice that there was like a few in Jonathan's set for that year or two, where, especially if you were just listening to the podcast and you knew you'd liked one, you could kind of hop down to the next one and be like, well, how about this animal's mind from the point of view of different ways of thinking. Of my own ones, I really like the bad language one. So we had Rebecca Roach, who's a philosopher in the traditional sense, then Emma Byrne, who does science and cognitive science of swearing, and then John Gallagher, who's a historian who focuses on language learning in the early modern period. It was just really fun. They were all really good conversationalists. Yeah. They all were really interested in each other's work. And it was like a really nice balance of some quite serious philosophical chat about slurs and slander and why, what kind of harm that constitutes, as well as, you know, funny examples of popular slur words in the 18th and 17th centuries. I think particularly cook, it turned out, had been the the most popular slur of its day, and, you know, had really receded in popularity,
like,
and come back
like
up.
Like cuckold.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did we have to bleep that on the podcast, I wonder? No censoring, of course, at the Forum for Philosophy. My favourite was the existentialism. Existentialism is the easy event, because existentialism isn't easy, but it's also, it seems to be that, like, the gateway drug into philosophy for many people. And it was largely because we had Stella Sanford, who is a philosopher I admire so much.
She's brilliant.
And when I approached her, she replied instantly saying, I love talking to wider audiences, I don't get to do it often enough. And I was just really taken aback by her enthusiasm, because I respect her and think she's such a dignified philosopher. And I thought perhaps she wouldn't want to do this, but it seems to be lots of philosophers want to do this. And she was amazing in the event. And she said something about existentialism being the philosophy for teenagers, and how she had a teenager at home. And teenagers always ask, you know, why was I even born? And, you know, that is an existential question. And it changed my thinking about existentialism in a really important way. Tell me what you're looking forward to in the future. Claire, you go first.
Well, I have really been thinking seriously about this one that came out of that quite animated audience discussion from the grammar event. So I think I'm going to do one on modern language, looking at the use of emoji, emoticon conversation styles, looking at maybe Ebonics or multicultural London English, and kind of these new ways of communicating, and, you know, philosophy and cultural thought behind them. So that is, you know, just a specific thing I'm excited about. And then I'm really enjoying our Out of the Vat offshoot.
You should explain what our Out of the Vat is for anybody who's not caught up with it.
So Out of the Vat,
really self-explanatory title, doesn't require any explanation.
Absolutely. It's interviews one-on-one with philosophers on things that they're usually not interviewed on. So I'm sure Stella would like it. But so they ask about your music taste, your, you know, how you got into philosophy, but also things that are kind of stranger but still philosophically focused, like, so what's the most outrageous position you hold, or what do you think is the most controversial philosophical idea you think is correct, or that kind of thing. But it's also, I mean, Brian Glennie, who I had over for the Molyneux conference, or the Molyneux event, was on it recently, and just talking about skateboarding with the kind of scholarly enthusiasm that would just be hard to believe. So it's a really nice way to remind ourselves and then the public that philosophers are normal. And I think as an undergrad, I would have really benefited listening to it, because I just, you know, you had the sense of them as these ivory tower people with, you know, no families, no hobbies, just writing, writing, writing. And I think it's a really nice corrective to that.
I think we're misleading the public quite a lot if we give them the impression philosophers are normal.
Yeah, well definitely Brian Glennie is cooler than the average philosopher, for sure.
Philosophers are not normal in my experience.
What about you, Jonathan? What are you looking forward to?
It's a trick question, isn't it? What am I looking forward to in the future? I mean, I'm not looking forward to the future. No one is looking forward to the future. It's a very uncertain, difficult time. But I do think there's really interesting challenges there for philosophy in general, and for public philosophy, and for the forum, in terms of what kind of a world we're actually going to be living in once the coronavirus pandemic is over, and how the world will change. And these are big questions, and they have philosophical elements, and we need to think about ways of bringing the public into those conversations about how the world should change and how we should change the way we live our lives. And yeah. I think it's good to take a bit of time to reflect on how to do that, and not to go straight into hot takes, publishing instant articles on what you think of the consequences of the pandemic will be. Better to sit and wait. But I think there's a lot of work for the arts and the humanities and for philosophy in just taking our time and reflecting on how the world can be different. And I hope that forum events in the future will play a role in that process.
Yeah, I agree. I think people keep talking about the idea of a new normal, and it seems to me part of this new normal has to be a philosophical one where we take the time to reflect as well as respond instantly. And in a funny way, this lockdown has brought about lots of time to think for people. I know people are really busy, but it's also been a kind of way of taking stock as well, I think.
It's a good time to think about what aspects of our previous lives we want to keep and what we want to change. You know, do we want to be flying around quite as much as we were before? Or should we be changing the way we travel quite substantially? There was an interview I read last week with Tony Lloyd, who was an MP who had the coronavirus and nearly died and has only just got out of intensive care. He was giving an interview about his experiences, and he said we need to treat this pandemic as the anvil on which we beat out a new world. And I thought that was a lovely phrase and seems exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, our anvil will be beating out the Forum for Philosophy podcast, we hope, for the coming future. If not, live events again. You can keep updated as to what's happening with the Forum by following our Twitter feed at Forum Philosophy, or you can drop into our blog, blogs.lse.ac.uk/theforum. And we really hope that we see you or hear you again in the coming months. Thanks to Jonathan and Claire, and take care. Bye. Jonathan and Claire, you're going to say bye?
Bye.
Bye.